This is Day to Day. I'm Alex Cohen.
And I'm Madeline Brand. The Iraq War has displaced some 4 million Iraqis, nearly half of whom have fled to other countries like Jordan and Syria. Over the last year, about 1,600 have been admitted here to the United States as refugees. That number and the fact that it is so small has caused a lot of controversy amongst Republicans and Democrats alike. Even the American ambassador to Iraq, Ryan Crocker, has expressed his frustration, sending a cable last month bluntly titled, "Iraq Refugee Processing, Can We Speed It Up?" In a moment, we'll talk with an Iraqi refugee who has been admitted to the country. First, though, one of the people in charge of resettling Iraqi refugees, Ellen Sauerbrey, is here. She is Assistant Secretary for Population, Refugees, and Migration at the State Department. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Let's talk about the cable that Ambassador Crocker sent with that question, Iraqi refugee processing. Can we speed it up? Can we?
We are speeding it up. What hasn't, I think, been understood is that we had to start in early 2006 in an environment that there was absolutely nothing in place. UNHCR had virtually no capacity to be doing referrals. We had no processing entities built. We had to build everything in the infrastructure from scratch. This coming year, we have set under the presidential determination for how many refugees can come into the country. We have established 12,000, and we will have no difficulty, I don't think, meeting the 12,000. And that is going to continue into the future. As long as there is a need, we will continue interviewing. But one thing I have to say, and I don't think that it's been recognized fully, is we have a very strong, in my bureau, humanitarian response to this. But the Department of Homeland Security has an equal concern to make sure that the people who come into the United States as refugees are properly screened and are not going to pose a threat to the United States. It would be disastrous if we brought in someone under the refugee program who ended up trying to harm American citizens. After 9/11, Congress put very stringent security requirements. For example, every person who comes in as a refugee today has to have a face-to-face interview in the country in which they have sought asylum with someone from the Department of Homeland Security who goes and does these interviews. They go through fingerprint checks, name checks against every available database to make sure that this is a person who is who they say they are, has a legitimate claim of persecution, and is not identified in any way with a criminal or terrorist background.
You have tens of thousands of people who have either been cleared by the UNHCR or who have worked directly for the Americans who are desperate, just desperate to leave, and who, in essence, have almost targets on their back. They're afraid of being assassinated every day.
Well, UNHCR has referred to our program about 12,000. And of the 12,000, by the end of this calendar year, we think we will have completed interviewing that entire initial group. But you're right. We have a very strong moral obligation that we feel very passionately about, of the need to move people who are targeted and get them out of harm's way and get them resettled in the United States as quickly as is possible. But at the same time, we still have to live with the security requirements that are the law of the land.
Well, thank you very much, Secretary.
You're certainly welcome.
That's Ellen Sauerbrey. She's the Assistant Secretary for Population, Refugees, and Migration at the State Department. And joining us now is Dr. Najib. He has lived in Amman, Jordan for about 8 months as he waits to be allowed into the United States. He's an ophthalmologist. He had his own clinic in Baghdad. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
You left Baghdad 8 months ago?
Yeah, on the 3rd of last March.
And what were the circumstances?
I came here to apply for this program, which has been initiated by the State Department, through which they were hoping to allow 7,000 Iraqis who have been affected, suffered, bereaved by what happened following the war, in the aftermath of the war, you know, the violence, the mayhem, the murders, the killing, mm-hmm. everything.
What has happened to you?
My son was very tragically, very unfortunately shot by an American soldier without any reason for it. My son We have always been very good with Americans. We have been always very friendly to the Americans. And to make a very long story short, you see, he has been through lots of operations and lots of complications, and now he is in what we call a subconscious state or a vegetative state or some kind of terminology, like terms like that.
Wow, I'm very sorry. And is he with you now?
Yes.
How has it been living in Jordan for you these past 8 months? Have you been able to support yourself?
We've been able to support and survive, you see, through the help and kindness and generosity of lots of people, you see. And I am a doctor, you see. I'm an ophthalmologist, and I've worked in that specialty for almost 30, 40 years, you see. But I haven't made any money, you see, from medicine. So we were faced with this story, you see, with this situation where my son needs very special medicines, very special, you know, very special clinical and nursing care, you see, which costs lots of money, you see.
When you come to the United States, where will you settle, and how will you pay for your son's care here?
We are hoping to settle with my son. You know, I have this fellow, you see, the injured one, who is number one, and a girl, a daughter, who is in Canada now, and a third son who resides and carries a green card, an American green card, who is living in Michigan.
So you'll go to Michigan?
So we are hoping that we go to Michigan. We have always been planning to go to Michigan, yes.
And how will you pay for your son's care in Michigan?
Part of this generosity, you see, of the Americans in allowing us, if we go, is that we are going to be helped by the American government and by agencies related to the American government and by charities which are stationed in America. In fact, there is a charity where my son lives in Michigan who have already, you know, pledged all sorts of help and assistance and, you know.
Dr. Najib, thank you very much for speaking with us, and best of luck to you.
Okay, fine. This has been a very, you know, very kind of you and a great pleasure.
Okay, and good luck to you.
Thank you very much. God bless.
That's Dr. Najib. He's an Iraqi ophthalmologist living in Amman, Jordan. He's been cleared to come to the United States as a refugee. He could leave Jordan as early as next week.